So are you willing to get your real estate license? And he said yes. And then he started going out with my clients and I started getting jealous.
Yeah. So we actually...
The diamonds are symbolic of all the pressure they put on me until I shined. My life is symbiotic with the culture. I could never ever lose the vibe. Make sure they rolling one up for me, cause it's been a long ride. We doing this one for Money T. Keep his name alive.
All right, awesome. Adam Hazlett and Nicole Hazlett, the Hazlett family, with their son Harrison Hazlett, who's not present right now. Thank you so much for joining the Healthy Knit podcast for mental health awareness and, you know, just being part of a big community and to give back and also being realtors, right? You guys, I coin you guys as the realtor family. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Our dog decided to join here in the middle.
What up, dog? What's his name?
He's like,
I'm your family. Yeah, let's go. No, all good. All good. It's a great guest to have on too. So one thing I want to know about you guys is how did the realtor family, the Hazlett family, come together? And what was your origin stories of how you guys met, like how you guys decided to become realtors? Because you guys did this almost like in a fusion kind of dance, right? Like one person sells, like understands like property real estate. The other person understands like investments and rentals, if I understood correctly from our past conversations. But it would be good to know, like, how did the origins of the Hazlett family come about?
Yeah. You
want
to
take that?
Go
yeah.
for it.
So I guess it all starts as really how we met. You know, Nicole grew up in Roxbury. I grew up in Randolph, you know, high school rivals. So, you know, towns right next to each other. My whole background is really in restaurants and hospitality management, you know, prior to real estate.
And I was a former teacher, so I had plans of doing real estate part time and it being like my summer gig, a way to make a little extra funds while teaching and, you know, making ends meet as a teacher. And it just transformed into more of a passion than a hobby. And I started to get really busy with making sure that we were taking care of all of our clients and I needed help between 8 to 3. And then I turned to Adam and said, I need either partner with someone outside or partner with you. So are you willing to get your real estate license? And he said, yes. And then he started going out with my clients and I started getting jealous.
Yeah. So I had taken care of customers in the restaurant, and, you know, after work, me and a friend in the restaurant, you know, we would go around a corner to the local dive and grab a beer. And it just so happened that one of the customers I had had that night, they had gotten engaged. Well, they happened to be very good friends of Nicole. So Nicole actually, they had gone down to that bar to celebrate afterwards with all their friends. And, you know, I show up and, you know, the groom to be goes to Nicole and says, hey, you know, you got to meet someone now. It's your turn. And my good friend is trying to get, you know, break into conversation with him is really difficult. He controls conversation very well. So Nicole kind of got blown off. I went and found her friends later, you know, gave them my phone number. Was like, hey, your friend's really cute. You know, have her give me a call. You know, she called a couple days later. And the rest is kind of history, you know, from that point. And then, you know, eventually got into real estate with her, developed a love for, you know, kind of the investment side of it, you know. And, you know, we've been having some success ever since.
Yeah. And I think like Adam really loves the investment side, but I think he's also really great with our buyers and helping them get to the closing table. And
yeah,
and obviously we like to help even beyond that. So I think that's really important too.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun when you have a partner as you're doing like your career, right? So it's always good to have someone to lean on, someone that understands what you do on a day-to-day basis. So that's really cool. And, you know, I don't see most people having like a team duo kind of job where they see each other all the time. How does that feel? Like, because you guys are basically each other's best friend and coworker, right? So how does that work?
Yeah, you know, we can butt heads every once in a while, I would say. But, you know,
I would say it wouldn't be healthy if we didn't.
We definitely do butt, you know, but we understand when we need to give each other space, or, you know, if someone's got a lot on their plate, we understand, you know, kind of how we need to act around each other. And obviously, you know, we love each other very much. And thankfully, you know, our strengths are different. So what Nicole's very good at and what I'm very good at are cover the whole realm of real estate, but thankfully are different. So we kind of stay in our lanes and we do what we do best. And I think that's really kind of what helps us work.
I agree.
No, that's awesome. And like, you guys get to bounce back off of ideas and learn, and also have your own company that kind of flourishes and you guys learn the ins and outs. With that said, how was it like, I guess, like in the current market with being a realtor, how is the current market like right now? Cause I know the Fed raised hikes today. Raised interest today, interest hikes. How is the current market currently that, you know, you guys are tackling together as one company? Also, give a shout out to your company in the video, because I feel like people need to know. Yeah,
we work for Keller Williams Metropolitan. It's the Keller Williams Morristown office. We have a satellite branch in Roxbury,
where we live.
But we work all of North Jersey. We've sold in, I think, 11 different counties. Yeah. In North Jersey.
Big portfolio, man. That's awesome.
So we, I guess from the market standpoint, it's
like locally and nationally,
you know, from a local perspective and like what we're going through, it's very difficult right now. And it's just really a lack of inventory. There's nothing to sell. And trying to find sellers is really the name of the game right now. It's getting challenging for buyers. We've seen rates kind of creep down from the fall. Fall, they were, you know, low sevens is kind of what we're seeing for interest rates. Right now, we're probably right around six. I haven't checked in a day or two. And I know that the 10-year treasury has dropped. That's really the benchmark for what we look at for, you know, mortgage rates. Not so much the Fed rate and what they do, but more so what's going on with the 10-year treasury, because mortgage rates kind of fall off that. So we're seeing that has really come down in the last week or so, you know, with the banking crisis, you know, those rates really kind of dropped after that. You know, the expectation is they are going to come down, and the further they come down, we're going to kind of see this market really take right back off. Housing prices, you know, we're already seeing it now. You know, we've had a couple listings where, you know, we've had a dozen or so offers, you know, on the property, and they're going in one weekend. So if you've got an effective team behind you, you know, it goes quick, and this, you know, this business is, you know, can be fun. It's interesting. It's stressful.
Really stressful.
I think if you asked any realtor involved, they want normal times back, you know, pre-COVID, you know, it would be great, you know, to give your buyers a chance to kind of look around and get a feel. And then when they want to make an offer, it's most likely going to, you know, if you can, you know, get them, you know, get an agreement in place, it's going to be good. And instead of it just being, you know, an all out, you know, bidding war, and it's really messy out there right now.
No, for sure. What is your perspective, Nicole? Is that the same? I mean, it's probably the same response that Adam is giving, but is that also anything new on top of that you would like to add with the current market?
I just think different markets are different. So it's really important that, depending on the town that you're looking in, that you know the absorption rate, which is how fast the market is moving in that specific town. For instance, like Roxbury has 10 listings on today, and there's many that are under contract right now. So the absorption rate in Roxbury is less than 1 month's supply. And that just, it shows how strong of a seller's market it is right now in the town of Roxbury. And each town is going to have a different absorption rate, and it's going to show how strong or weak the market is. I saw a post today from a local economist that we reference often, and they were showing that towns down in South Jersey have an absorption rate of somewhere around like 4 or 5 months supply. So there's a lot more inventory in other areas of our state. So real estate's just really hyper local, and it's important to have a real estate agent who knows the local market.
We have, you know, Keller Williams is the largest brokerage in the country, you know, in agent count and, you know, sales volume. And we're constantly being fed new information from all across the country, from pretty much every marketplace. And you know, what's going on in New Jersey is not happening in the rest of the country. There are spots that it is happening. But if you go down to like Florida or out in Idaho, you know, it's really where a lot of these people that fled the New York metropolitan area and fled California and went to these other places, those places that they went to, those prices skyrocketed and now they're coming back down.
Right.
We're pretty insulated here from New York City. New York City kind of protects us and Philadelphia, you know, in South Jersey. But what we're seeing here is different. We have a class that we take every year that, you know, it's offered for us to take. And the instructor that comes in, she's coming in from Florida, and I'm on the agent leadership committee. So I'm the one that's interviewing this lady, you know, as she's coming in. And when she first sat down with us, her whole teaching was going to be, how do we talk about price reductions? Well, we don't have that issue. So she's had to change her whole class based on our market, you know, compared to other markets that she's going to. And she travels the whole country and teaches this class. You know, she'll teach it in Nebraska, North Dakota, you know, Vermont. She'll teach it all over, you know, based on, you know, where she's selected to go. So she's got to change.
Really, it was really interesting that she just assumed she knew the market and she knew and what was going on.
And it's like completely different.
And that's somebody who's like involved in real estate on the regular and should have maybe known better. So but
that shows you how it changes. You know, she's from the Tampa area. And what's going on in Tampa is obviously completely different than what's going on here in North Jersey. So,
and I think you touched on it before, but like New Jersey is so unique because we are the tri-state area. We are, centered around New York City and, Philadelphia. And so because of that, I think we're really insulated. And even if you look back at like 2008, like the prices in New Jersey didn't drop as drastically as the rest of the country. And we're going to see that again when prices do settle back down, is we're just not going to see the huge pullback that other parts of the country see.
Also, do you think like the reason we also have a lot of pushback towards selling houses is because we're also very just population-wise way more dense now? Like when I went to New York, it's so many more people just crowding the areas up. And it's like, literally like impossible to even afford or even think about renting, because all like, you know, as a real estate investor too, I've had like my tenants and vendors that came out, like they're all from New York. And it was just like during the time of COVID where they just came because they were like, it's too expensive, man. Like it's like a grand or two grand more than what they were even paying. And
yeah, you always kind of see a ripple effect from New York City. You kind of, you know, New York City is the epicenter. And it just kind of ripples out into New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get priced out of New York, you go to Hoboken. When you get priced out of Hoboken, you go to Montclair. When you get priced out of Montclair, you go to Morristown. When you get priced out of Morristown, you move even further west. You know, we see that constantly. We've seen that, you know, since COVID pretty much.
Yeah, still continuing to see a westward trend, you know, that Adam was talking about. It's really interesting.
Yeah, like a coworker of mine just went to Texas because he's just like, yeah, I don't have to pay a certain amount of tax at this location. It's so much easier. I work from home. And I'm like, whoa, like I didn't even think of Texas, but is that the next move? And, you know, that person is way more happier. But, you know, I just think it's like just the trends that people are kind of hopping on. And, you know, it's hard to afford a house. Even having a house right now is like unheard of, you know. So congrats to you guys for getting one before, you know.
Property taxes are crazy in New Jersey. That's what makes it
double digits.
Speaking, you know, to people going to Texas and stuff like that, we have clients that they got the full remote job and they said, why am I going to pay New Jersey prices when I can make New Jersey money in another state? And we have several clients that have done that. You know, they've moved down south. I don't know if we've had anyone go to Texas, but you know, Georgia, Florida.
I think 1/4 of our sellers last year left the state.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty significant number. Yeah.
That's a huge number. 1/4
of our sellers last year left the state. So yeah, I think people are realizing that there's definitely other places they might live and be happier. And I think you just touched on that. Part of like the location of where you live brings you happiness, and it gives you a sense of like stability, obviously. And when you're talking about renting and the pandemic, there was a lot of unsettling feelings with that. And so there, that's why there's been this push for home ownership, because you have stability, you have a piece of property that's yours, and that makes people happy. So I think we're going to be happier as a whole, but we definitely have a lack of inventory, and it's almost like a housing crisis here in New Jersey. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is there's nowhere to really build. And even if they do build in New Jersey, new construction costs, you know, housing really starts at about $800,000, which for a first-time home buyer is just unaffordable. And then you pay, you know, new construction taxes, which are higher than the normal taxes. You throw that on top, it's just not realistic for new construction to be built for first-time homeowners, you know, which kind of makes it difficult. And there's just not a lot of new construction as there is, you know, so even getting some of these people that are established and older, you know, out of their homes that maybe a first-time home buyer can buy and getting those people into new construction, you know, there's just not enough of it to really, you know, put a dent in this supply.
Also, there's like builders who are trying to do mass building, which I've noticed like the whole street. So it's like sometimes when you go into that like environment, the builder will give the landlord or whoever a hard time. Like, you know, if they want to fix one thing or two, I think they have, like, if it's like a new construction, they'll give you like a 1 year of just like, you know, leaks and stuff, that kind of like that, you know, leeway to just fix those things in like the house. But, you know, other than that, I mean, if a builder doesn't want to come back and you have a flood in your basement, like good luck, you know, and he built it in such a rapid way. The whole street has been constructed in such a short time that, you know, you might not have doors like on your, you know, like your multifamily house or new constructed house. And I noticed that too. Like I had a friend who literally just, you know, he got a house and then next time, you know, they had a flood and the builder didn't want to pay for those damages. But it was like right within the natural, you know, like when they would just bought the house and it was not flood proof and all this stuff. And you have to be really careful, you know, with just, like you said, all that plus closing costs, you know, closing costs are huge for a new construction house, $800,000 house. So yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah, closing costs are about 2-3% of the purchase price. So that's something we always prep our buyers to prepare for. It's something that a lot of buyers forget about. And so we just want to make sure they have a full picture of their finances before they commit to buying a home.
So one thing I always was curious to know is like, how does a realtor stay within the trends of the market, but then at the same time doesn't lose hope of being a realtor? Because like you said, as you're in this business, it's a business that fluctuates a lot. So how do you, you know, throughout the month, some months you may make money, obviously some months you wouldn't. How do you stay consistent and how do you be a good realtor and not lose hope and, you know, quit your job per se, or prevail at your job, you know?
I think we have that conversation like every January and February. It's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? How are we going to survive this year? And then it starts building because you're constantly doing activities, you know, and everyone wants to think it's like Selling Sunset where it just magically happens. It doesn't. You're doing all of your activities. You're sending your marketing. You're following up. You're touching, you know, you're contacting your database and figuring out, you know, seeing who's looking to buy or sell or, you know, what it may be. And you're trying to fill that lead funnel and just constantly filling. And then eventually, you know, the spring market rolls around and that funnel turns on and it starts pouring leads out. And, you know, you're kind of, you go from there.
I think time blocking is like really important part of our business. So just taking the time to set a schedule of what activities we're going to do for the week and a list of those activities. And then just, you know, hitting the ground and making sure that we accomplished all of those activities that week. So, you know, this week we have a listing coming to the market. So part of our activities this week are letting the neighborhood know that the home will be marketed and an open house will be taking place this Sunday. Another activity, which could be lead generating for another listing, or it could be lead generating for a buyer for that property. So that's a really important activity. And so I think it's just time blocking those activities to make sure that you stay consistent, like Adam said, with doing everything for the business. And there's so much to do. And so we just want to make sure that we cover it all on a weekly basis. And then we, you know, we take a step back and we look like at what our month looks like too. We do like annual planning as well, to just stay on tasks. And we know what our numbers are that we need to make for the year to be successful in real estate. And when you focus on numbers, it all comes together at the end somehow. Yeah. It works.
It seems to me like there's more, there's so much more to real estate than what the commercials show you. And it's almost like you're like this grand gesture where, like, you know, you make so much money and, you know, you're doing like all these like multi-billion dollar deals. And it's just like, that's not, that's just not the reality of the case. And so is my dad. He's a salesman too. So, you know, like I totally get it. And it's not what, you know, they show you on commercial, right? This is that might be just one realtor who had knew a really good contact, got 10 sales of, you know, millions of houses. And now he's on the news, right?
Yeah. Look, wouldn't we all love to be on one of those reality shows and be right here? That's not reality.
No, 100%. And I totally agree with you. Even as a podcaster and someone that invests, I mean, just having like a foundational setting where, you know, I thought I was going to make some profit, just getting to that step was tough as it was. And now I'm making profit, but it's not like I'm making like millions or, you know, I'm like flooded in cash. It's luckily I was able to do what I could and I'm here. So, you know,
yeah,
for sure.
One step at a time, one property at a time.
One property at a time. And whenever I'm comfortable, you know, just go for it. Yeah. That being said, how was it like, I guess, often do you check your MLS spreadsheet in a day? This is one of the popular questions.
Probably for me. So I'm the back end of the business. So I'm, you know, doing contracts. I'm contacting all the clients, all the communication, basically, of setting appointments and communicating with our clients. So I'm on the MLS the most. I check our hot sheet probably 3 times a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once at night. I'm checking to see what are the newest listings that came to market, to see if anything meets our current clients' needs. I'm also checking what's going under contract because I'm looking at pricing and areas, and I'm looking to see like, okay, that price makes sense for that size home in that town. Like, and that helps me learn the market. And I'm also looking at solds, like what's closing out, because that shows me what happened 2 months ago. And honestly, that's the most relevant data that we have, because that shows us, again, pricing, days on market, what prices are, you know, what homes are selling for in that town. So I probably check it 3 times a day, like morning, noon, and night. And I'm just, I think it's important to track those things because, like, you have many different clients that you're trying to meet. You have your buyers, you have your sellers, and then you have anybody else new that you're trying to reach, and you can use that information to educate your sphere, like the people you know, friends, family, and beyond, right? So, and I want to keep everyone up to date with the proper knowledge. As an education background, I think education is really important, and I want to bring real estate knowledge to anybody and everyone who's willing to listen to me.
100%. I know you're really able to help me when I try to go for my real estate, but unfortunately that ship sailed. So
sorry about that. I was really excited for you, and you know,
I know. I wish
time, different place, another
down different place. Yeah, it's just a work thing, so it's all good. Yeah, exactly. What about you? What about you, Adam? What's your take on this?
So she's the one that's looking at the hot sheets. You know, for me, I'm looking at houses as like a client, almost like a need by need basis. Just kind of seeing like, all right, is there anything else that's popped up? You know, if they're asking about properties, you know, what information can I figure out that might help them decide, do they want to look at it? Do they want to put an offer? You know, what are the concerns going to be? You know, you pulling seller's disclosures, figuring out, you know, the back end information of what's on the property. You know, most of what I'm doing is I'm out showing the houses.
Yeah.
I'm on the ground. I'm almost like our Uber driver, I guess.
You just have to drive them around. You're like, babe, this is the right house. This is the house that you're going to sell right now. She does her thing, right?
I think I understand a bit more of like the construction of the house. So I can walk into a house and say, you know what, this kind of concerns me. This concerns me. You know, this is something you might want to talk to a plumber about, and just kind of pointing out things that I see that could be issues, or, you know, positives, quite the opposite way. So
something that's new and that clearly has just been replaced. Like, you eyeball that.
Mm-hmm. Making sure that the clients are looking at the things that they're not necessarily going to look at. Clients always want to look at the bathrooms and the kitchens and the big, shiny, beautiful things in the house, mm-hmm. But you really got to look at the structure of the house and the foundation of the house and, the stuff, kind of the internals of the house and make sure everything's kind of healthy, before going
forward. Yeah, we don't want to waste anybody's time going under contract on a house that's not going to pass inspection. So.
Yeah, and I was seeing like a YouTube short the other day about like a tech realtor being a good realtor versus a bad realtor. And if you always look out for, your clients when it comes to the house's health, rather mm-hmm. than, like you said, the shiny, the nice things, like a nice kitchen, it'll go a long way because you're going to get most likely leads and referrals, and they're going to trust you with their future, generational wealth and their generations and their kids and stuff. So I think it really goes to show that being a realtor is not just about making money, but it's about reputation and it's about like credibility and portfolio management, right? So once mm-hmm. you have enough portfolio, with clientele, then you're good to go, and people will trust you around the area, especially North Jersey, Roxbury. I'm sure you guys are well known. So that's really sick to know that, you're in good hands, because I think the last thing I would want is like if I get a house and it just starts breaking, that'd be the worst. And,
we'd rather you walk away from a sick house. Make sure you're buying something that's going to, stand and test. It's all right if it needs some updates. There actually could be some value in that. If you've got the money, and the extra, funds to be able to update something, you get build that equity.
But a sick house is anything with mold, anything with an environmental concern that the seller is not willing to fix.
Structural issues.
Yeah, foundation issues.
Tank, right? Would that be one too? Like it's like a septic tank through the ground.
Septic tanks are always in the ground. It really comes down to the, how they've been maintained. If they're in good condition, you would do a septic inspection, as part of the home buying process. So, that's
if the sellers are willing to fix the septic in order to make the sale go through. But there are certain septics called cesspools, which basically means that it needs a full replacement of a septic, and septics can be expensive and septics are not for everyone. So.
Yeah, no, I totally I want to go look at a, I think it was a foreclosure house. Yeah, and it was like a septic tank. And then I really wanted to buy because it was a 3-story and it was very cheap. And then we found out that the tank was leaking and I was like, we got to go. And even my friend, one of my friends in there, he's like, don't buy the house. It's not worth it. But, what can you do? But it was a 3-story. Had the potential to become like a 3 instead of a multi, a triplex, I believe. That's what you call it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it had a very good potential because it had everything. But I was like, nah, I can't do this right now. It's going to cost me way too much.
Yeah. You have to be able to identify things that are going to be costly and what's to avoid and what to move forward on. And I feel like that just comes with experience and doing your research. And research is so important. We say do your due diligence. So mm-hmm. it's really important.
100%. So I guess when it comes to research and your job and everything, I know there's like a lot of stress that comes with that, as you guys stated in the start of the video. Tell me about your mental health going in and out of it, because, also being a family and being not having the typical 9-to-5 parental job, I'm sure with the baby and everything with Harrison, shout out Harrison, take me through that, because, mental health is so important. And I feel like, you guys don't talk about it, right? You're always at work, alone doing something, and sometimes it gets to you, just everything, right? And nowadays, I think it should be advocated. Realtors have stress too. They're people behind the, the happy face, and trying to sell a house. There's always definitely stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So I'd love to understand both of your worlds and learn how you assess that, right, and take care of that aspect of your lives.
Well, I think we touched on it a little bit before. Like time blocking is how we get through our week, how we get through our month. So in the morning, we start our day with like an hour of cuddling with Harrison in our bed. Like he watches his show, he starts his day there. And I don't know, I feel like it's just a way that we ground ourselves as a family. And it's the way that we wake up in the morning and settle into our day, because from there, it's kind of like you said, it's go, go, go. Some of our day is just responding to what is going on in the real estate transactions that we currently have on the table. So you don't know what kind of day you're going to have sometimes when you wake up. We have a list of things we have to get accomplished. And then we have those other items that come up spontaneously that we're going to, right. It's balancing the two to get it all done by the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can change wildly, you know, throughout the day. And it's also different throughout the year. You know, we could be sitting in January and it's just trying to start, you know, filling that lead funnel like I was talking about before. You know, but we don't have much going on. I think another thing is, you know, making sure that we're blocking away time during the year that we can get away and recharge and make sure that, you know, we're okay and we get to go do something fun as a family, and get to spend time with each other. You know, it's important, you know, for us to spend time with each other. And we may find, you know, especially like right now, we're kind of like gearing into the full spring market. And we may get a point in May or June, or we've been running for like 30, 40 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And we may just like, we don't have anything going on one day. And it's like, all right, we're checking out. We're going to go take a personal day. You know, Harrison, let's go to the zoo. Let's go do something, you know, let's go do something fun. Yeah. And just take a break and breathe a little bit. And not being afraid to do that. And I think we've, you know, especially over the last few years, since COVID, especially, and having Harrison, you know, we've mentally have just said, okay, we need to not be afraid to take a day, breathe a little bit, have some fun, and then we'll get back into it tomorrow and go from there.
Yeah. So we have that broken down into like a weekly schedule, like 2 days a week. We have like our weekend days that are not on the weekend, that we take time away from our business to be with our family. And then we have, like Adam said, our vacations that we plan that we look forward to, and we count down the days till our vacations. And we also have a third team member who's obviously not here. Shout out to Samantha. Awesome. And we take those vacations, or we take that personal day. We have someone to back us up in the event that we do need feet on the ground, hands on the ground, to be able to take care of our clients. So I think that that has been a huge game changer in the last year. Just to have that additional support. And we absolutely love her. And she's learned so much in the last 2 years with us. And she's grown so much, and she's so capable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really like a nice piece to our puzzle.
It's taken a little, it's helped to help us take stress off the plate.
Yeah.
You know, you can only do so much business before you really need to, you know, reach out and have more help.
Ask for help. Yeah. I think that's one thing, no matter what industry you're in. You shouldn't be afraid to ask for help.
No, I don't. I think it's definitely not like unusual. I think it's everything very normal to ask for help. I mean, even like people I know in the they're self-employed, they have assistants, they have coaches, they have mentors, they have people that have, you know, just have their back for them. Even at work, I have somebody that's on rotation every week. So we're always just like having each other's back. So I think like using the backup system, the support system is very important. And, you know, just find the time to be a family, I think, is very another one. Because even the other guests I've interviewed, guys, like it's like a recurring theme. Like people think work is very like important, but people also forget resting and having fun is why we're doing all this, right? We're trying to like live it up, not just trying to, you know, soak and, you know, just work really hard. So I think it's really great that you guys do that. I guess what would you say is like the, what's like one of the hardest things to, I guess, experience as a realtor? Because when I was thinking like when the whole process you go through, right? Like the contract, the attorney review, all that stuff, and it gets rejected. I'm like, damn, that must be rough to hear. And it would definitely have like a mental toll. It had a mental toll on me. Like when I put down a house and it went to that like level, and I was like, damn, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. So how do you guys like kind of just deal with that? Could you kind of take me through that process?
I mean, the rejection, like a client's like not having offers, except like, I think we're just kind of used to it at this point. And
I think we're desensitized to that.
We are a little desensitized.
Which stinks, okay. But because we still have to support our clients who are hearing it from the first or the second time, like
Okay.
That they didn't get their offer accepted, which in this market is, it's very common because of the demand that is out there with buyers. There's so much buyer demand. They're saying like it's 10 times the buyer demand to the number of listings. So for every one house, there's 10 buyers that are out there ready to make an offer. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just supporting our clients to know that, you know, it's okay if we don't get the first one. You're learning. That was a great experience. Let's get out there. Let's go get the next one because I don't like to lose. And then like in terms of if an offer falls apart after we've done attorney review and home inspection, I think we're at the point in our career where if it doesn't go get to the closing table, we are okay with that because we know that it wasn't a reason. Normally, it's never on us why it's not coming together. And I don't mean,
usually it's,
I don't want to make that sound like, well,
usually,
or anything,
usually it's something, it's usually there's a major issue with the house, you know, whatever that may be, or, you know, there's some meeting the minds that the seller and the buyer, they just can't maybe, or, you know, there's some meeting the minds that the seller and the buyer, they just can't get together on it. And we typically can see that coming. So it's never, it's rarely a shock that it comes, the deal just falls apart. So we understand, and we understand it's the nature of the business. You know, we have, you know, deals fall apart every year. It's not like it's some rare thing that never happens. You know, it happens. Right. We've had it happen many times. It'll happen many more times in our career. And it's something that we just have to deal with. And I guess, you know, at that point, it's really, you know, we almost have to be the mental coach for the client and just kind of keep them like, keep them engaged and keep them going. Like, look, this happens. This is normal. You know, you had something that went wrong. It wasn't meant to be. Let's go find something that's meant to be.
And I think we truly believe that too. Like the right house is out there. And if this wasn't it, then there's a better house. There's a better reason for why this is happening. And we're going to find out what it is once we get to that next stage. I think that it's really hard for buyers. It's probably harder for buyers than for us. Cause like, again, like I said, I feel like we're desensitized to the situation, but I think the bigger piece to all that is like the buyers that don't buy the first house with us because of like an inspection issue or a meeting of the minds issue, or attorney review because they get cold feet or whatever. Like they always come back to us and they always end up buying a house. Like we've never had a buyer like walk away completely and then go and use another realtor. Like, so that says something to the fact of like, again, like we know what we're doing. We're going to hold your hand through this. I'm sorry, this one wasn't the right one for you, but we get them to the closing table on the next one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people need that learning experience. Like you have to learn stuff through life, through experience. Like you can't, they don't teach a class on this in high school, though I think they should.
Yeah, I think with with buyers especially, we do a lot of like, you know, when we kind of first sit down with buyers, we kind of let them know what's going on. Because most people, when it comes to real estate, you hear what's going on in the news and you think it's like an absolute bloodbath and the prices are coming down and this is going on. And, you know, the news is spitting out all these awful stories of what's going on. And it couldn't be further from the truth of what's happening in New Jersey. And that's why I don't think they should talk about real estate on the news. Buyers and say, look, it may take a couple offers for you to get a house. Listen to us, trust us, and you know, we'll show you. And typically, you know, and especially in this market, the first offer rarely is getting accepted unless they are gung-ho listening to us, which, you know, it's tough to really go and do that. But once they get burned, we kind of say like you get burned that first time. And you know, once that happens, then it's kind of like, oh wow, you guys are actually right. Like you have to be aggressive. And,
yeah.
You
know, sometimes they don't believe us. Like they don't believe us that the market is as crazy as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But normally there's some driving force of why they need a home. And a home, again, it's stability. It's something that everyone needs. Everyone needs a home, whether you buy or rent, or invest, do a little bit of both. So I think that that's something that will never change. And I think that's one of the things I love about what we do is it's always going to be a necessity.
No, I definitely think that's a great take. And I think just like you guys said, pattern recognition, seeing like if they're for it, being persistent, you know, I think it's very important. So on that note, Last question. Is there anything I've missed that I didn't ask you guys? Because I think this is a great interview. I think you guys are great. Let me know if there's anything I've missed.
Well, we do host a sellers seminar, which we're hosting one tomorrow night, and we can get you more dates for those. And we're hosting buyer seminars as well, because we want to make sure that our buyers and sellers in this market are educated and knowledgeable about the market, so that they can, you know, maximize their exposure or find a home off market, which is something that we work on the regular. And we would love to work with more buyers and sellers in the local area. So, we definitely would love it if you could share that with them.
Yeah. Fourth Thursday of every month, we do the seller seminar, and the first Thursday of every month, we do the buyer seminar. So I don't know when this will air, but I'm guessing not by tomorrow night. So
no, probably in a week or so, but, no, definitely guys, go check them out. I'm gonna post it in the plug down below in the comments and in the bio. Definitely, these are the two great realtors in our area, North Jersey specifically, focused. And definitely, if they're in the area, just say hi. And they're very responsive through social media, Instagram, and reach out to me as well if you guys want to know a referral. And definitely, they know what they're talking about. So go follow them and listen to their advice. All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Later.